Ancient words. Being happy-go-lucky around someone whose heart is heavy is as bad as stealing his jacket in cold weather. A dry crust eaten in peace is better than steak every day, along with argument and strife. If you won't plough in the cold, you won't eat at the harvest. And good news from far away is like cold water to a thirsty person. Even after 3,000 years, these words resonate with us, ancient though they may be, because the human condition hasn't changed. And there are many more sayings like this in the book of Proverbs, and I urge you to dip into the book to find them. It's an eminently dip-inable book. It is not an organised narrative in really any way, and there are just lots of fascinating scenarios that are mentioned. If you're wondering where to find it in the Bible, roughly if you just open a Bible, it will fall open at either Psalms or Proverbs because it's about in the middle. Proverbs is straight after Psalms. The kids' video is a great introduction, and I watched it, and Jill sent it to me yesterday. I just about thought, well, I can pretty well skip the sermon. But anyway, we will go into a little bit more detail. It's great. And hopefully you noticed from Jill's reading of those first verses in chapter 1, the number of things which tease out the idea of wisdom. So discipline or self-control and prudence, understanding, knowledge, discretion, discernment, insight, perception, all sorts of different ways of looking at what wisdom really is. And what it comes down to, as far as Proverbs is concerned, is making the right choices in life. Making the choices to go God's way, making the choices that will make you successful, as one of the children said. And all this comes from knowing God and following and trusting the Lord. It's not just an intellectual knowledge. It's one thing to know in your head that something's a good idea, but it's actually a heart knowledge as well. And Proverbs 4:23, I will be referring to quite a lot of verses, so if you've got a Bible, it might be good, and if you've got it on your phone, start scrolling. Above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. And in Jill has already read the verse that says in many versions that the fear or respect or reverence for the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. You don't get very far without that if you're making good choices in life. And in chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, there are verses that I could probably, I'm tempted to, but I won't, is to say I reckon there's a number of people here who would be able to stand up and recite these verses without looking. So trust in the Lord with all your heart and don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will make your paths straight. I will just ask, who's learnt that by heart at Sunday school at some point? Yeah, exactly. Lots of us were taught that, weren't we? So that's where you start with, is this heart commitment to walk in God's ways by his strength. So getting back to the actual book, who wrote it? Now, it mostly is words from Solomon, as the kids on the video said, but there are other people involved as well. Solomon was around in the 900s, and it's quite interesting actually, because I was vaguely thinking of trying to find an image that, I mean, there are no pictures of him, of course, but in the end, I found so many images that had him with a long grey beard. The guy died at 40, so I'm going, what, does people not actually read this before they try to put pictures? So I gave up. He had prayed when he came to the throne as a very young man after some family strife at the end of David's life. He had, God had asked him what he wanted, and he prayed for wisdom, and God granted that. Unfortunately, if you read his life in 1 Kings, and that would be a good Sunday afternoon occupation, he didn't always follow that wisdom himself, but we haven't got time really to go into that. But Have a look at 1 Kings 4, go back a few books, 4:29, verse 29, to find out the background about Solomon. God gave Solomon wisdom and very great insight, and a breadth of understanding as measureless as the sand on the seashore. His wisdom was greater than the wisdom of all the men of the East, and greater than all the wisdom of Egypt. He was wiser than any other man, there's a short list there, and his fame spread to all the surrounding nations. He spoke 3,000 proverbs, and his songs numbered 1,005. We don't think of him as writing songs because his father David is so much more famous for that. He described plant life, he's a botanist, from the cedar of Lebanon to the hyssop that grows out of the walls. He also taught about animals and birds, reptiles and fish, and men of all nations came to listen to Solomon's wisdom, sent by all the kings of the world who had heard of his wisdom. And we don't have 3,000 proverbs in the book of Proverbs. It's more like 400 and something, I think. Depends how you count them and so on. So clearly these were a selection. And then you'll see in Proverbs 25:1 that a couple of hundred years after Solomon's time, Hezekiah's men, King Hezekiah, who was restoring much of the worship of God and the temple and collecting together the songs and getting people to collect together the songs of David and other psalmists. It says, these are more Proverbs of Solomon, chapter 25, copied by the men of Hezekiah, king of Judah. As I said, that was another couple of hundred years later, and the book was probably really put together after the Jews came back from the exile from Babylon. So what is it? It is basically poetic wisdom literature like Job and Ecclesiastes, and it, as I said, it has a very basic organisation. It is not grouped in themes. Nobody has gone around and said, let's make a list of proverbs about wealth. They have scattered all of those right across the book. And so on. But the three sections basically are chapters 1 to 9, which are about wisdom. It's almost, they're a poem really, about wisdom. And much of that is addressed to, I'll say here, young people. Solomon addresses it to my son, but clearly it applies to anybody young. Then chapters 10 to 24, and then 25 to 29, the second grouping, are Proverbs of Solomon. Chapter 30 and 31 are sayings of somebody called Agur and King Lemuel, and nobody has any clue who they are or were. And the best scholars can say is that possibly they were kings of client kingdoms around Israel who were known to people. And it finishes with, in chapter 31, the acrostic poem. An acrostic means that every verse in that poem starts with a different letter of the Hebrew alphabet. Makes it easy to remember if you were Hebrew. And it's the poem on the wonderful woman or the noble wife. Somebody, one of the commentators I read said that perhaps it's interesting, the book starts with this poem about the chapters about wisdom and praising wisdom and so on, and it ends with somebody who, a woman who is clearly extremely wise and applies all these principles to her life. Okay, so there are several types of proverbs that I observed anyway in the book. There's this instructions and commands. In chapter 6, verse 20, I'm just going to give one example of each of these types. This is a pretty straightforward command. My son, keep your father's commands and do not forsake your mother's teaching. As Jill said, mothers like us are pretty keen on that one. Another sort that you often see, there's a lot of these, are observations. They're just saying this is how life is. And so chapter 30, verse 33 is a really good example of this. For as churning the milk produces butter, and if you've only bought butter in a supermarket, you may not know that to make butter you have to really churn up cream for a long time. And as a very small child, I actually saw somebody doing that and making butter pats in a farm at Marrable. As churning the milk produces butter, and as twisting the nose produces blood, I don't recommend you try this, but I can guarantee that will eventually work. So stirring up anger produces strife. Now we'd all go, yeah, mm-hmm, yep. So that's an observation on human nature. There's often quite a lot of what might be just called common sense. So chapter 24, verses 3 and 4, I'm going to read from the Living Bible. Any enterprise is built by wise planning. It becomes strong through common sense and profits wonderfully by keeping abreast of the facts. Wouldn't disagree with that, would we? There are warnings, and one of these is in chapter 6. It's not exactly a warning, but it's certainly in that genre. Chapter 6, verse 16 onwards. There are six things the Lord hates, seven that are detestable to him. Haughty eyes, lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked schemes, feet that are quick to rush into evil, a false witness who pours out lies, and a man who stirs up dissension among brothers. Obviously, seven things to avoid. Also, blessings. In chapter 10, verse 22, it says, "The blessing of the Lord makes rich, and he does not add any sorrow with it." And there's even a couple of ones might be called native cunning, and I actually couldn't find the verse again when I'd noticed it, which basically says if you bribe a ruler, you know, you might get on the right side of him or something like that later in the book. And their format of these of the sayings are nearly all two parallel phrases, which meant they were easy to memorise for people in a semi-literate society. A lot of people wouldn't have been able to read, but these are proverbs that would have been repeated and told people and taught to people. And the two parallel phrases either say the same thing twice. Oh dear. Okay, well, somebody moved it down. Okay. Either they say the same thing twice, and the two statements are joined by an and. So an example of that is Proverbs 14:13. So even in laughter, the heart may ache, and joy may end in grief. Saying much the same thing in slightly different way to embed it in people's minds. The other way of these, that the Proverbs are, and there's many more of these second way, are where there's two opposing statements joined by but. And most of the book is made up of these, and chapter 14, verse 23 is a good example. All hard work brings a profit, but mere talk leads only to poverty. Now, you could read, right, if you read, even if you glance through the book, you'll see it's probably hundreds of those examples the opposite way. And clearly, the overall effect is choose. Choose the right way. Choose carefully. Make the right choice. Make the choice God would want you to make. Choose. And the contrast hammers at home in lots and lots of different topics. And so there are a number of themes that I've identified, and there's no doubt others as well. Diligence. Lots about hard work. There's lots about hard work in Proverbs. Discipline, including self-discipline and self-control. Family relationships, partners and children and parents and even grandparents are mentioned. Generosity. I've put one theme called God's way is best. I couldn't think how else to put that, but it's like the Proverbs 3, 5 and 6 verses and others. Honesty and integrity, there's a lot about that. Inner peace and emotions. There's also quite a bit about justice, especially for the poor. Kindness, laziness, the opposite to the hard work ones. Relationships in general, how do you get along with people? Sexual temptation is dealt with in detail in chapters 5 to 7 because all that advice to the young man or his son. There's a lot of verses about speech. For instance, I'm just noticing one right here. 12:18, reckless words pierce like a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. You could glance through, you'll find lots of those too. And also there's verses about wealth. And you'll notice that these are all about people-to-people connections and relationships. It is not a book which majors on our relationship with God. If you want the total contrast, you've got Psalms and all those wonderful songs which have our emphasise and help us grow our relationship with God. This is a book about the outworking of that, how this works in real life. How do I make the decisions that will help me live a good life, that will help me get on with my fellow human beings, that will make me the person God wants me to be? And over the next 2 weeks, Michael Brown is going to give brief introductions, and the teaching team is looking for 3 to 4 people each week to share a verse or two from Proverbs and how this has impacted or been illustrated in your life or influenced your choices. Now, Paul put that as an attachment, that request as an attachment to his email. I've also photocopied a few pages. If you don't have ready access to email or a printer, please pick them up. And we've listed the themes and put some verses that apply to those themes or those, under those headings. Even if you don't feel there's anything you could contribute, it's worth downloading that or picking up that copy of that and just having a look at one or two of those themes. It will be a blessing to you to look at that and just check out the verses that apply to it. So please contact Michael if you're willing to do that. Otherwise, you may be volunteered in some way. Okay. Now, as the children's video said, we can make these right choices if we know the Lord Jesus and in the strength of his Holy Spirit. And this book is full of wisdom, and there is a wonderful poem in chapter 8. Well, it's all, most of those chapters are poetry, but towards the end of chapter 8, there is a poem about wisdom, as though wisdom is a person. And I'm going to read from verse 22, chapter 8, verse 22. The Lord brought me forth as the first of his works, before his deeds of old. I was appointed from eternity, from the beginning, before the world began. When there were no oceans, I was given birth. When there were no springs abounding with water. Before the mountains were settled in place, before the hills, I was given birth. Before he made the earth or its fields or any of the dust of the world. I was there when he set the heavens in place, when he marked out the horizon on the face of the deep, when he established the clouds above and fixed securely the fountains of the deep, when he gave the sea its boundary so the waters would not overstep his command, and when he marked out the foundation of the earth. Then I was the craftsman at his side. I was filled with delight day after day, rejoicing always in his presence, rejoicing in his whole world, and delighting in mankind. And a little bit later, verse 35, whoever finds me finds life and receives favour from the Lord, but whoever fails to find me harms himself. What a verse. That reading those, the personification of wisdom immediately made me think, and I'm not the only person, according to commentaries, of what the New Testament says about the Lord Jesus. If you think of John 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the word, the wisdom, the logos, the expression of God. The word was with God and the word was God. He was with God in the beginning, as it says in Proverbs that wisdom was. Through him all things were made, and without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Whoever finds me finds life, it says in Proverbs. And in Colossians 1, it says very similar words Paul writes about the Lord. Once I can find the book. Colossians 1:15, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation, for by him all things were created. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And so there is a definite linking with this idea of wisdom, the ultimate wisdom being through the Lord Jesus. And 1 Corinthians 1:30 says that Christ Jesus has become for us wisdom from God, that he is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. And Colossians 2:3 says that in him are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And so, thinking about making good choices and all those good choices that are mentioned all the way through Proverbs, the absolutely most important choice that you can make, that you will ever make, is to follow the Lord Jesus as Saviour and Lord. And if that is not a choice that you have made yet, I beg you to talk to somebody that you know who is a Christian to talk about how you might make that choice. And for those of us who are Christians, the book of Proverbs is a good reminder about how to live our lives well and how to make the choices that God would have us make. Thank you.